Martin.
Oh, look at you. Ooh. You look a right old picture.
Oh, thank you very much. And I do have a picture for what am I wearing, Martin?
You are wearing your very own, I believe, personalised Dardy jumper. Custom made. So it's that green colour with the sort of pixel type face. And that is that. So that's actually you, is it?
That's me. I mean, obviously, it's where it's sunglasses, but I think
I can see it. Yeah,
you can see it. Yeah. Yeah.
And how? So how did you make that pixel face of you?
So anyone can make it. I feel like now I am an advert for the Dardy Freer jumper, but you just go on the website and there's it's fairly basic, but you can just change. You can change the hair, the eyes, the colour, the nose, all that kind of stuff, and make your own face and then get it put on a jumper. It costs quite a lot, that's all I'll say. Because it is shipped from Iceland. So,
of course.
You know. Because they make it in Iceland, because it's Dardy Freer.
Sure.
So, and it is custom made. So, yeah, it is, but I got it as a Christmas, it's my Christmas present, so.
To you.
I did quite well. No, my dad got it me.
Oh, so. Okay. Oh, that's all right then. That's nice.
So thanks, Dad.
Yes, thank you to Laura's dad. Welcome to Nullpoix. It's me, it's Cress, and we're talking Eurovision.
Woo! Nullpoix is shameful.
Nullpoix is lack of respect for Eurovision.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpoint is no fun.
Yes, thank you very much, Dad. And we'll be talking a little bit later on, just for many things, you know,
yeah,
not just for the jumper.
Yeah, he's a nice bloke. I've met him.
Yeah, he's a lovely guy. Cheers, Ashley. We'll be talking a bit later. If, you know, Christmas is coming up. So if you're thinking of getting, you know, presents for the Eurovision fan in your life, what could you get? We'll be having a little discussion about that later, apart from the jumper, because maybe, you know, you're a bit strapped for cash because it is an expensive purchase. Or maybe you've just got a very nice dad who might be able to buy it for you. But anyway, that's
enough
of
that. Daddy. Yeah.
Yeah, but this isn't a Christmas show just yet, but we will be discussing that. This is, of course, Nullpoix. I am, as Martin said, Laura, and over there, of course, is Martin. We're a Eurovision fan podcast. We discuss all things Eurovision in a light-hearted way. And first on the menu today, I think, should be our non-news of the week, Martin.
Oh, okay, hold on. I've got the keyboard here. I'll do the jingle. Here we go.
Okay.
It's the non-news of the... Oh, did it wrong. Hold on. It's the non-news of the week. Great, that, wasn't it?
Right. Okay. Thank you for that. Yeah, the non-news of the week. And I think this could be a regular feature, to be honest, with the amount of non-news we get over Eurovision. But get ready for this, Martin.
Okay.
Get ready for this non-news of the week. 2020's semi-final lineup is going to stay for 2021.
No way. I can't believe it. I don't believe it. So what you're meaning to say is the semi-final that they had in 2020, which they didn't use, they're just copying and pasted it. They're moving it over in the Excel document.
No, they were like, let's keep that. We've done good work there. Well done, us.
Mm.
Tap on the back. Well done. And we're going to leave it as it is. Should I go through all the countries in the semi-final in a quick manner?
Oh, yeah. I'll time you. Should I time you?
You can time me. Should we? Last time we did this and we didn't really set a kind of target, so it was kind of pointless.
Well, no. What did I get? I got it in 20 seconds, didn't
20
I?
20 seconds, yes. But am I going through semi-final one and semi-final two in one go then? Is
you're doing all the countries that are all 40. How many are there of them? 40 something?
41.
41 countries, and you're going to try
it won't be 41, will it? Because obviously the big five won't be taking part. But yeah, so slightly less than 41.
Okay, well, you need to do the full 41, otherwise it's not fair. So just add the big five at the end.
Oh, for God's sakes. Okay, fine. Well, I'll do the big five at the beginning and then...
Okay, do the big five at the beginning. Your time starts now.
France, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, Spain, the United Kingdom, North Macedonia, Belarus, Lithuania, Sweden, Slovenia, Australia, Ireland, Russia, Norway, Cyprus, Croatia, Azerbaijan, Malta, Israel, Ukraine, Romania, Belgium, Austria, Moldova, Poland, San Marino, Serbia, Iceland, Czech Republic, Greece, Estonia, Denmark, Bulgaria, Switzerland, Finland, Armenia, Latvia, Georgia, Portugal, Albania.
Oh, now. Now then. Now then.
I didn't stop to say the different which... you know, the, obviously the second half was the second semi-final, but I was trying to do this for speed. So
okay, I did it in 20 seconds.
And that was, I mean, I didn't, I wasn't timing that exactly, but yes.
16.
Ah!
Very good. Okay. I'm very impressed with that. That was good.
Got quite a rush there.
I felt it. Well done. This is an over, Cress. This is an over.
Yes.
Yeah. There'll be another round of this. Yes, so there we go. The non-news of the week, which is the fact that some countries that are taking part in the Eurovision are taking part in the Eurovision in the same way as they were taking part in the Eurovision at the time when they didn't take part in the Eurovision. It's the non-news of the week. I'll do the jingle again. It's the non-news of the week.
Good. Thank you for that. Now for some news of the week, because we still have some. I frequently, whenever I bring up this podcast, I get asked by people, how do you do this every week? And because there is news, there's things to talk about, people, just because you're not into it. And we now have a little bit more clarification on what will happen and you know, what will happen if, because they've said the song contest will happen, but what will happen if the artists have to record on tape, basically, rather than record live because of the virus. You know, we've already laid out these four potential scenarios the EBU gave, the four ways to make Eurovision happen. One was obviously just the normal, a normal Eurovision song contest. The second was a socially distant Eurovision song contest. The third
which
was...
which does have an audience, but the audience is spread out. Yep.
Yeah. The third was also socially distanced with some travel restrictions. So artists can perform in their own country. All performances of the shows will be brought together in Rotterdam. And the fourth will be Eurovision Song Contest in lockdown. So no audience, no, basically like they did with Europe Shine a Light this year. So we have more information about how this live on tape recording is going to happen. And the idea is, basically, is that they'll be asked to record a live performance of their act in their own country, and it'll take place in a studio setting. It'll take place in real time, as it would at the contest, so they won't be able to make any edits to the vocals or any part of the performance itself after the recording. So once that recording is done, they have to send that tape over to Rotterdam.
No matter how bad it is. What, is that going to be, you know, what if somebody makes a big mistake or somebody falls over? Got
to
go.
It has to be. It has to be because it'd be
and
the
they're
same
all going
to
do that,
Eurovision.
Are they? All of the people who are all in the host in the country where they want to make themselves look really good, they're all going to go. You know that time where she's really bad and she sang completely out of key and she fell over and there was a fire on stage. Yeah, we've got to send that one. We couldn't just do it again.
Well, no, because Martin, because a live connection will be set up during the recording to allow the ESC executive supervisor and a representative from an independent voting observer and the host broadcaster to observe the recording session.
Right.
To ensure. So they will be watching. They have to submit a recording session schedule, the studio setup and camera plan. The head of delegation has to be on site. It's a 60-minute recording session they get. Oh, okay, so they get they're permitted three takes.
Oh.
Yeah, so there you go. That's your answer there. They are permitted for three takes of it. So that's and either alone or together with someone who has the appropriate mandate. And they make the final decision on which take is selected. So that's how you get around that.
Just like rock, paper, scissors. It's best of three.
Yeah, one, two, three. Oh, no, it's that one. yeah, so there you go. So that's how they thought it. See, they thought around everything, really, didn't they?
Yep, there you go. So I suppose this is kind of shining a light, if you will, on what might happen. And we've talked about it, as you say, many times before, what will happen in 2021. We know the Eurovision Song Contest is going to go ahead, and we're still not sure exactly what form it's going to take. Will it be the normal Eurovision as we know and love, or will it be some form of socially distanced, be it a mild social distancing, or be it the full kind of lockdown, nobody's there situation? Given what we know now, and we're talking to you on the 24th of November, following news over the last few weeks of three effective vaccines being discovered and awaiting approval, following the news of those vaccines being really, really good by the looks of things, and hearing stuff about very good news in the coming few months, how are we feeling about the chances of Eurovision taking place in a normal way come May.
Right. Well, originally I had said I think it's going to be scenario C, so a Eurovision Song Contest with travel restrictions. I think I may upgrade to scenario B, which is a socially distant Eurovision Song Contest, which means that all the artists would be performing live, but the audience would be socially distant. And I think that would still be a great scenario. There'd be fewer audience members, but I could see that possibly happening. I don't think we'll get a normal Eurovision Song Contest by next May. I can't see that happening. But I can see a socially distant one happening.
Yeah, when we originally talked about this, I thought it would all be back to normal and I went with A. But then during the course of our conversation, you convinced me to change my mind and I switched to B. And I think I'm going to stick at B. Yeah. And so we are now in agreement that we think that there will be a sort of, as you look at it, a normal Eurovision, but the audience will be socially distanced. Now, for the likes of you and I who were kind of hoping to go to it and to get tickets, that's not great news, no. But I suppose at least it's happening.
Yes, I agree. It's not great news considering when it was a normal Eurovision, I couldn't get the tickets then. And that was with a larger audience. So it'll be interesting.
Now, of course, here on Nullpoir, we like to keep you up to date with all of the possible songs that could be being put forward for Eurovision. And there is some news of a song that may be, and see, I'm doing lots of caveats here, but may be put forward by Bulgaria. And it's getting an awful lot of reaction online.
Yes, and this is, we are of course talking about Victoria, as you have to shout because she's in capital letters, and she has shared a shortlisted song for Eurovision 2021, so this isn't for sure the one that will go ahead and be the one she performs, because she is performing Eurovision 2021, but it's one from Bulgaria's internal selection. And the reason we share this, as you said, it's got a lot of reaction already. And Eurovision fans really love Victoria already. They really liked her selection for 2020. She was definitely, I say, in a lot of people's top three, probably with Dardi and the Roop from Lithuania. And it's an interesting one. Again, we've both had a listen to it. So, Martin, your thoughts? And I even the song title is quite interesting. Ugly Cry, it's called. What did you make of it, Martin?
I really, really liked it. And I think maybe before we discuss it, let's just hear a little bit of what it sounds like. Tell me that you love my better side. Yeah, Ugly Cry from Victoria. And yeah, I say, I do... Oh, no. Oh, that was so ugly. I really like it. I think it's really good. I think she's great. Her vocal is great. The song is very... Do you know who it reminds me of? Ariana Grande. I think it's very, yeah, Ariana Grande in the way the song's been put together.
Yeah, it's funny. I would say the same thing. That and Billie Eilish, and she has had a lot of comparisons to Billie Eilish in the past. It's just an excellent, taking away the Eurovision, it's just an excellent pop song. You could, if that was on the charts, I think it'd do very well. So, it'll be interesting to see what other songs are in the selection. I don't know if that song would win Eurovision. It's almost a little bit too understated for Eurovision, I think. I think it's almost too good a normal pop song. Do you get what I mean?
I do. I think it doesn't necessarily stand out from the crowd in a Eurovision way. I think it probably would, you'd notice it if you were kind of hearing it on the radio, but I wonder, in amongst all the madness of Eurovision, and we know there probably is going to be a bit of madness in 2021, because people have seen the ones that were doing well in the bookie, with the bookies anyway, and online for 2020, Little Big and Dardi, and they're thinking, well, they've kind of gone a bit bonkers.
Yeah.
So if we're doing something that sounds like a really good Ariana Grande-esque song, that isn't going to cut through.
Yeah, and it's, well, it depends, because she's got a great fan base. Lots of people love her, which I also love. I think some people are calling themselves the Victorians, which I think is a great name for fans.
They should all wear top hats.
Yes, I'd love it. Great? Yes, that should, that, come on,
cycle
guys,
around on penny farthings.
what let's make that happen, please. Like, you know, with the Netta, they had like the Pikachu hats.
Yeah
like, for, yeah, we need top hats for Victoria. Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, it's that the fans love it, and she has a strong fan base, but as we all know, that's not everything for Eurovision, because when it gets opened up to the general public, there's a lot more to take into consideration. But I think she would have quite a strong jury vote with that. It's an excellent song. It's well produced. And it's, you know, it'd be really interesting to see what other songs she's going to release. It's interesting the way they've done this as well. So they've said this is one of the songs and they've released it, and they're almost gauging public reaction. They haven't said this is the song. You know, they're seeing how people react to things.
But they have gone to the trouble of making an entire video for it.
Yeah, I know. And it's a good video as well. So. Yep. I'll be very interested to see. The official Bulgarian entry, of course, it's going to be presented in March. So there's still plenty of time. I'm guessing they're just going to keep doing this. They're going to keep writing songs and release and seeing who likes the, you know, who likes which one the most, and then take that one, which is a clever way of deciding a Eurovision entry.
We were talking at the start of the podcast today about the jumper that Cress is sporting as we speak, which is a bespoke Dardy jumper. It was got for her by her dad, her Dardy, for like, what, like an early Christmas present, was it?
Yes, basically. Well, I kind of wanted it for the winter, so I said, oh, would you mind? And I didn't know how long it was going to take to arrive, because it came from Iceland, so yeah. Got it as an early Christmas present.
And it got me thinking about possible Eurovision Christmas presents. If you have somebody in your life who is a bit of a Eurovision fan and you wanted to get them a bespoke present or some sort of present that fit the Eurovision theme, what would you go for? And I guess the Dardy jumper is quite a good shout, but they are quite expensive. So, yes. I mean, do you have any other ideas of things that you'd recommend getting?
Well, it's funny because the Eurovision Song Contest website itself, where you would expect most of the merch to be, is only selling stuff from Eurovision 2020. I imagine they've got a huge stock of things.
They've got
to
loads
sell.
Of it, yeah.
They're just like, please. And I'd be interested, to be honest, in getting some of that, because it's almost, you know, it's merchandise from the year that never happened. It's kind of like a little rare Pokemon, you know. It's something that, you know, didn't actually happen. So I'm really surprised fans haven't bought up all of that, because you can get, you know, like a Eurovision 2020 party pack, which has got like a t-shirt. I know.
That's the best one, isn't it?
for the Eurovision that never happened.
And the party that never happened either.
Yeah, exactly. Apart from that, I mean, one thing I love is, of course, the Conchita fancy dress beards, which cropped up around 2014. Do you remember those?
Yes.
Everyone was wearing them, weren't
they? They loved the Conchita beards, and quite right too. In fact, people still do wear those. That's one of the things that stood the test of time, I think, the Conchita beard. Very good. You don't see very many people dressing with a cardboard cutout face of the Queen, though. That seems to be very much just you and you alone.
Yes, it's funny you bring that up, isn't it? Yes, so every time we go to Eurovision, I don't know if we've ever spoke about this on the podcast, but I do.
No, maybe we haven't.
No, I don't know if we have. But basically, it's because, like, the time we went was the Queen's Jubilee party, and there was just a cardboard cutout face of the Queen. So I thought I'd just bring it along to Eurovision when we went to Copenhagen in 2014. And I dress up as the Queen when we go to the Eurovision. And people love it, though. The reason I keep doing it is that people love it. And when I say dress up as the Queen, I just wear a cardboard mask. I don't really... Yeah.
You don't wear a crown,
else.
You don't put on any like robes, but you just have a cardboard cutout face of the Queen,
It's a good mask, though. It is a good mask.
Yeah, it's a great mask. And people do, they keep coming up to you and going, oh, your majesty. And yes. It's so bonkers. And it's great.
I've had little children be like, you're not the Queen. And it's like, yeah, obviously.
But people want, people have had like photos with you.
Yeah.
And it's,
I've been interviewed on some.
Oh, yeah, you're always interviewed, aren't you? On some foreign TV station.
But it's really hard to hear with the mask on. So I, half the time, I don't know what they're saying. But yeah, it's great fun. That's why I keep doing it. So, Queenie, just, you know, keep on going so I can keep doing that.
Cause I think we've answered the question here for what you get the Eurovision fan in your life. You just get
the Queen
them
mask.
The Queen mask. It's got nothing to do with Eurovision, but it seems to go down well.
Now, we're coming up near to the end of the show, but don't worry, we haven't forgot the most important part of it, which is what, Martin?
Well, it's my turn this week to do Trivia Time!
Thank you. Excellent.
Excellent indeed. Now, this is the bit of the show where I give you a random fact about something that's happened in Eurovision history. And this week, I'm going to take you right the way back to 1957, very, very early on in the contest. It was actually the first year that the UK took part. The UK hasn't been doing it from the very beginning. It was you know, joined just a few years. But 1957 was also the time where the longest on stage mid-song kiss occurred.
Oh.
Yes, this is all about the Danish entry. Denmark's Bertha Vilke and Gustav Winkler. Oh. I think that's how you say their names. They were actually the first ever duo that took part, or one of the first ever duos anyway, because it was a new rule that allowed more than one person to actually perform. They were doing a song called Skibet Skal Seji I Nat, which of course, as we, thank you, which we all know translates to the ship must sail tonight. So there he is, dressed as a naval captain. And as part of the sort of on-screen romance, he puts a ring onto the finger of his female partner, and then he ends the song with a farewell kiss.
Okay.
It went on for 13 seconds, which doesn't sound like a huge amount of time, but like 13 seconds on screen,
no, that is a long time.
A really, really long time. And the reason that it went on for so long was because the guy who was in charge of sort of, you know, like the director, the stage manager guy, forgot to shout, cut! So they were just holding this kiss for ages, and they were really going for it. Apparently, at one point, one of them, Bertha, appeared kind of desperate to come up for air. She was like, and they were still kissing, still kissing, and still kissing.
So, can we stop now? Please.
So that's your trivia time for this week. The kiss on screen that never ended.
Exciting stuff. Have you had a kiss that never ended? Please do get in touch with the show.
You're asking me then.
Have you, Martin? Have you had a kiss that never ended?
Not to my knowledge. No.
Okay, good to know. Well, if you have, or if you had one that you wanted to end quite a lot quicker than it did, get in touch with the show.
Yes, get in touch with the show. Oh, I feel like I'm in the position to do the contact information.
Oh my God, finally, because it's been me every time. So go on then, let's see how well you do.
Yeah, well, this is it. I'm a little worried about it. So there are three possible means of communication. The first one is email. Yes. nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Well, the second is going on to our Instagram, and that's at
Null. Well, I mean, it is at, but you can just say the name. You don't need to say at.
All right. Point null on Instagram.
No.
What is it?
It's not.
What is it?
It's Nullpoir Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Instagram's Nullpoir Podcast. Twitter. Yeah. Twitter. Oh, the Twitter.
Yeah.
Is a point null.
Yes.
Because we don't, and don't worry about why. It's at point null.
That's on Twitter.
And then, of course, then I just invite you to subscribe to us, leave us a review, all of that stuff, and do it. Do it now, and we'll be eternally grateful. Admittedly, that could have gone better, that.
Yeah.
I will admit that.
Maybe I threw you off a little bit by with the at, but it, yes, a solid 4 out of 10. That I think it wouldn't be getting douze poire for sure. Please do get in touch with those ways. And as Martha said, if you like this, subscribe. You can always unsubscribe later, but why not subscribe now at the moment when you're enjoying it? You know, let's think in the moment, for goodness sakes.
Live for the now.
Go on, and give us a 5-star review on iTunes because it really helps the algorithm. You might think, oh, what does that do? Well, it does a lot of things, so do it.
Yes, thank you. Right, goodo, we're going to go about our lives. Cress is going to wear her jumper out in public, and we will reconvene on another edition of Null Poire.
Thank you.